มาก
As we come back together on this evening, continuing to worship our God in spirit and in truth. On this morning, we started a lesson on be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances. And as we looked and talked about our God, how we should be thankful that He is our God. And as we heard the scripture be it read and read alone, let's read it one more time from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, looking at the 28th verse. Hebrews chapter 12, looking at the 28th verse. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And we looked this morning at several reasons why we should be thankful for our God, the Creator of all things, the God that gave us His Son, that He loved the world so much that He gave His Son to die for the sins of the world. Be thankful in all circumstances. On this evening, we are going to look at and start with reasons to be thankful for Jesus. Again, we looked and we read in Acts 2 the message that was preached on the day of Pentecost, that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made Him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus that we continue to proclaim and continue to preach unto men today is the same Jesus that we are going to be judged according to the standard in which He has set. The word in which He has brought forth unto us, the word in which we should be living by as we stand before the judgment throne on that great day. Let us understand the importance and let us understand the realization that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. We find as we look at this in the book of John chapter 8, John chapter 8, as we talk about Jesus, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 48. We're going to start with verse 48, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter, which is 59, verse 59. John 8, 48. The Jews answered Him, "We are not right in saying, or are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon." Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and He is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Amen. The Jews said to Him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They can't win for losing. You are not yet 50 years old. And you say that you have seen Abraham? The answer that Jesus gave, the answer clearly states that he is God. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, isn't that a great reason to be thankful for Jesus? Standing up to the people that were here and answering them the way he answered them? The great I am. You know, who did God tell Moses to tell Pharaoh who sent them? You tell them, I am sent me. I am. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We cannot get around who I am is. There's no way you can get around it because the scriptures are clear. And if we believe what the Bible says, we would most definitely know who Jesus is. I am. I am. In the book of Revelation, the chapters 1 and the verse is 8. Revelation chapter 1 and the verse is 8. See, we get confused sometimes about who Jesus is. We get bogged down sometimes when someone asks us in reference to Jesus, who Jesus is, and really tell me about him. Well, who better to ask or who better to look to than the person we're talking about? Jesus says here in the book of Revelation chapter 1 in the verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, said Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Almighty. No one has power compared to the power that God has. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, all power, all authority has been given unto me. Who gave it to him? The Father gave it to him. But he had it. And that's what we look at when we start talking about Jesus. We should be thankful. We should be thankful that he was there in the beginning. Realizing that, let's go to the book of John chapter 1. I want us to realize something. Because without Jesus, we wouldn't have anything to be thankful for. Why? Because without Jesus, we would not be here. Jew or Gentile. The Bible says in John chapter 1 in the verses 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do you see the image I'm pointing out to you? The picture that I'm trying to paint for you? We were created in his image. The Father said unto the Son, let us make man in our own image. Jesus didn't deny that. don't even say that. He said, that's a good idea, does it? Because he was obedient unto the Father. And God included him. When I say God, I'm talking about Father God, included him in this creation. And all things, the Bible says, were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. See, we make plans sometimes. And yeah, we include people in our plans, but we exclude them out of the plan. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Husband and wife sometimes, yeah, we talk. But when it really comes down to it, the man always want to make the decision. He always want to try to do things sometimes without the wife. And sometimes it's just vice versa. I was reading somebody's post the other day, and they said that, you know, there are men out there that are being abused too. Talking about the woman being abusive. But here in this creation idea, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then we again, all things in verse 3. All things, not some things. All things. That means the heavens, the earth, the moon and the stars, the sun. Jesus was there in the creation. And we have to believe what the Bible says. So we should be thankful. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or are you not thankful for Jesus? Not just being there in the creation, but look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thankful for Jesus. How do we show this? How do we say that we are truly thankful for Jesus? He says, if you let me, you'll keep my commandments. That's a way to show that you're thankful for Jesus. Doing the things that are right before the Father. And then we realize, as we think about this, that we should be thankful by trusting. Thankful by trusting. See, there are so many times where we don't trust people. There's times where you may pick up a book and you may read that book and you may not trust that book is true. You can't say that about this book. Amen. This is all truth right here. You know, I preached a sermon one time, and a couple of people didn't like the way I worded some of the things that I worded. But I said, this book is full of lies. But you know, none of those lies came from God. The lies came from the devil. But they're here. They're in this book. But yet this book is still full of truth. And it's all truth. And we need to realize that. And we need to trust in God. We need to trust in him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Don't put your trust in man. Man will let you down. Oh, no, not that man. He's always been right with me. Give him time. You know, that moment would come one day where you say, I don't trust you, or I don't trust him, or I don't trust her. But you can't say that about God. Why? Because God has never let anybody down. Never. We have let him down, but he has never let us down. And he never, ever will. Isaiah 55 in the verses 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what word are you going to put your trust? Are you going to put it in man, or are you going to put it in God? That's something to think about. Because we'll follow man, and we'll follow man until we run into a dead end. And then we want to talk about him. You brought me down here to a dead end. You gave me directions, and the directions are not true. We need to wake up. And we need to realize again that the Lord said this, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I thought this, I thought that. See, what we need to be trying to do is we need to be looking at God's Word, and we need to be lining our lives up with His Word. We need to focus on His thoughts. And He's already revealed to us all the things that He wants us to know. Some things we will never, ever know. And it's okay. And I hear people say from time to time, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask this or I'm going to ask that. When I get to heaven, I'm just going to be glad. I'm going to be around the throne worshiping my God. There's no questions that need to be answered. We have all God wants us to know right here. You want to get there? You'll do what the Scripture says to get there. Align your lives with God's Word. Oh, it's great to think that, isn't it? I want to know exactly what was going through Peter's mind when he got ready to cut that soldier's ear off. The Bible has already revealed to it. He was trying to defend our Lord. But yet, somebody still want to know, Peter, what was going through your mind? Did you not know that that was the Messiah? You had already made that confession, Peter, that He was the Son of the living God. What more? Doesn't really matter, does it? What matters is that we understand that He says in verse 9, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The secret things belong to whom? They belong to God. If the secret things belong to God and He's already revealed to us all that He wants us to know, it's not going to do you any good to ask any questions when you get there. Just do what you're supposed to do. You was obedient to get there, so therefore, we already know what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping around the throne. And that's a good thing. Looking forward to that day. Looking forward to that day. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse is 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse is 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make straight your paths. Now listen to that one more time, because I believe that when we look at this, a lot of times we say, I want to think a little bit different. Have you ever heard that person say, think out of the box? You know what they're really saying? Really, when it comes down to God's Word, you know, God is not in a box. They're saying, let's not believe totally what the Bible says. That's what they're saying. They're not just going to come right out and say, no, I think that God meant something else right there. But they say, let's think out of the box. Let's not put God in a box. No, He's not in a box. And no, we cannot contain Him in a box. But what we do know, all that He wants us to know, is contained in this book right here. But you know what men are doing? Men are writing more books. And they're writing books and say, oh, this is the way you do this and this is the way you do that. Again, the Scriptures are very clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, that's going to take some effort. That's going to be exhausting when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. See, it's a twofold thing right here. We're trying to trust in God, but yet we want to lean on our own understanding. You're going to be tired. And very well should be. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths in all your ways. Well, what do you mean? When I go to work, I need to put God first. When I go out there in the community, I need to have God first. When I'm around my family, you mean to tell me I can't let my hair down? I got to have God first? Yes. God needs to be first. God deserves to be first. We need to trust in Him. Trust in His Word. Do the things that are right before Him, and everything else will be okay. You know, we just finished a lesson on your word about the wrong thing. And that still holds true. And there are many people that are worried about the wrong thing. Our trust should not be in man. Our trust should be in God.
Well, wait a minute. That's not what this scripture says, is it? That's not what this scripture deals with, is it? That's not what Isaiah 55 deals with, is it? Isaiah 55 is not talking about trusting in some other man.
Isaiah 55 and even this verse right here is talking about self. Talking about self.
Dante listens to a whole lot of things, and he is soaking up a whole lot of things. And he listens when I say, and he used it back to me today, early this morning when we were getting dressed and this, that, and the other, and he was talking about his opinion.
I said, man, your opinion don't mean nothing to me.
And, you know, I heard that same thing this morning where he was talking about, my opinion is good, and he was talking about his. He didn't care about my opinion, but it wasn't really my opinion. It was a fact because he was going to do what I wanted him to do. God does not care about our opinions. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And that's exactly what we need to do. Listen to that last part of that again in verse 6. And he will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. When? When you acknowledge him in all your ways.
When you acknowledge him, when we acknowledge him,
you know, there's a whole lot of things that has been promised to us by man.
And what man does, man say, here's the stipulation on you getting what I have promised to you, that you do what I want you to do. God is the same way.
But the difference is this. We'll do everything that man has said in order to get what man has promised. And when we complete this task, man adds another task onto it. We have to read the fine print.
A lot of times it's not the fine print that we have to read, but it's for man's mind. We don't have to worry about that with God. We just need to listen to what God has told us, and we need to do those things, and we will get what he has promised. Trust. Trust.
Reasons to be thankful for the trials. For the trials.
What? You mean to tell me that I need to be thankful for trials?
Yes. Yes. Must be thankful for trials. Why? Because this is how we are going to be able to grow. This is how we're going to be able to get over some things, or this is how we're going to be able to deal with some things or live with some things. It's because of what we go or what we have gone through or what we're going through in this life. In Job chapter 1, after Job had lost everything except for his wife, his so-called friends. This is what Job says. In verse 20, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, we can learn a lot from Job. We lose a dollar and we're torn apart. We're having a fit. Don't lose your job. Oh, the world is coming to an end. Yeah, the world is coming to an end, but not because you lost your job. The world was coming to an end when the world was complete after that sixth day. The world was coming to an end. So we need to look, as Job has said here. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. You know, we hear a whole lot of stories about children that are being born, and some of them have, you know, a head full of hair. Some of them have this and some of them have that. But I want to ask you a question. How many babies do you know that were born with clothes on? Not a one. not a one. We have to know that God's word is true. And what Job said says a lot. We didn't bring anything into this world. And we most definitely can't take anything out. He says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. The things in which he gained, they were taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when we go through trials, we need to understand that God is still in control. He still need to be worshipped. He still need to be honored. He still need to be glorified. And the things that we do are going to show how much faith, how much trust we have in God. So let's not get upset about going through some things in this life. And these trials that we go through, we may never, ever get over them. I've heard people say, oh, this too will pass. Well, what if it don't pass? What if you never get over losing a loved one? What if you never, get over this thing over here or that thing over there? Or are you going to say that what Job said here, blessed be the name of the Lord? I know a lot of people that won't, but I know a lot of people that will. And we need to trust in God, and we need to understand that we need to be thankful for trials. Then we find, as we look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we look at verse 18. We looked at this during our lesson the other day, and we're going to look at it again because it's worthy. It's worth looking at more than one time. The word is not changing. The word is still the same. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's exactly what Job did. Job gave thanks. He worshiped God. Circumstances that none of us could deal with. You lost this daughter, you lost that daughter, you lost this son, you lost your herds of cattle, you lost your herds of donkeys and all these other things. The next thing that's going to be lost in a lot of people's lives because they don't trust in God. Oh, he lost everything and he committed suicide. Where is God? Where is God? What was his faith? What was his faith? You remember, I don't know the date. Some of y'all may know the date, and the date really not that important. But do you remember when the stock markets were crashed? And those people on Wall Street were taking their lives, jumping out of windows and stuff like that? It's just money. Easy to say when you don't have any, right? Or you never had it. It's just money. Well, where's God? It wasn't just money to those people. Those people loved their money. And the Bible says the root of all evil is the love of money. Or the love of money is the root of all evil. So we need to understand again. Look at Job and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So in all circumstances, whatever you're going through in this life, whether it's good or whether it's bad, give thanks. Give thanks. Well, are we able to do that? Are we willing to do that? I know we're able, but are we willing? Will you do that? Something to think about, isn't it? We need to think hard on it. In the book of James, the chapter is 1. James, the chapter is 1, starting with the first verse of James chapter 1. We have to know who James is, right? The Bible tells us exactly who he is. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Some say to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. He says in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Produces steadfastness. So we should be thankful. If a man has never gone through anything and something happens to him, he's going to fall apart. Fall apart. I've told you, and I'll tell you again, I remember, you know, that phone call that my grandfather had died. Oh, it tore me up. It just broke me down. I didn't really know how to handle it. And later years, I got another call and said that my dad's dad had died. Took it totally different. Did I love one more than the other? I'm going to be honest with you, yes. But that wasn't why I felt different. I felt different because at that time I understood death a little bit better. Neither one of them had put Christ on through baptism that I know of. Neither one of them went to worship on a regular basis. And that's not that I know of, that's that I know. They did not. But when we go through things, when we go through these trials of losing a loved one or losing our jobs or being persecuted, the Bible says, count it all joy. My brothers, you can't tell the world this. Oh, it's going to be okay. And again, I told you years ago that I quit telling people that it's going to be okay, because I don't know if it's going to be okay with you or not. I don't know what your mindset is. And I know people that have lost people, and it's been years, and they're still having a hard time with it and may not ever get over it. And one reason I know that some will not get over it is because they are outside of Christ. But he says, count it all joy, my brothers. This is not for the world. This is for Christian folk. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And it says, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. So, you know, we should be asking God, give me a trial. I'm ready. You know, a lot of times, you know, people say, why me? You know, mine is just a different, just a little bit opposite of that. Why not me? Why not me? Well, what did God do? You know, look at Job. Let's go back to Job 1 for us just a second. I mentioned this the other day from a lesson, and we're gonna look at it again on Wednesday night, but let's look at it again on this evening. In Job chapter 1, we have to understand that God knows his people. He knows his people. Bible says in Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that the man was the greatest of all the people of the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would raise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings in according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Now, I don't have to read anything else, and all I need to do is ask you, what type of man was God? I mean, what type of man was Job? What type of man was he? And most of us say he was a God-fearing man. He was a man that cared not necessarily about his things, but he cared about his family. But look what the Bible says in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came along with them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil? Have you considered him? Now I want us to think about that just for a moment. Can your name be put there? Because you know who God is. You know what his son came to do for you. You know that your trust should be in him and it is in him. And that when you go through trials, you're willing to stand and not just stand, but stand flat-footed. Some of y'all know what that means, right? I walk up to you and you're not standing flat-footed and I push you just a little bit. You go backwards. But when you stand flat-footed, you're ready to fight. You're ready to defend your course or your space or whatever you want to call it. Your bubble, as again someone told me the other day, you're in my bubble. We need to understand that Job stood flat-footed. And the old devil wasn't a match for his faith in God. Now, by himself, Job couldn't have done what he did. But because he trusted in God, he did those things. So we need to be thankful for the trials that we go through and understand that we go through them in order to become stronger. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse is 35. Trials. Let's accept them. Let's be thankful for them. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. When you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. You know, he's not going to give you anything prematurely. You know, we have to work for what we have. You know, a lot of times when you give somebody something, they're unthankful for it. They go and they tear it up and here they come. They want some more. Or they want that thing again. We have to work for what we get from God. And when we do what God wants us to do, he says, you may receive what is promised. See, God has promised us eternal life. But you just sitting by and doing nothing, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. So let's be busy about the Father's business. Let's do what is right. Let's do his will. You know, again, man, there's no way possible that man could have just sat down and said, let's write a book and let's call it the Bible. Because there's a whole lot of things in here that none of us would ever write. None of us would ever write. Getting old is one of them. How many of you really and truly, well, we say that, you know, I can't wait to get Brother Shelton's age. Or I can't wait to get this person's age. But when we were the littlest person in here's age, did we say, I can't wait to get old? And if I could write this book, I would remain a child the rest of my life. No responsibilities. Mom and dad taking care of me, you know. No responsibilities whatsoever. But man didn't write this book, did he? God did. We would want to live forever because of some of the things that we participated in. Because of the love of the world, we would want to live forever. Oh, if I could just stay in this place the whole rest of my life. You stay in that place the rest of your life and you know what your eternity is going to be like? You already know, don't you? Because that place is the place of the devil. But man didn't write this book. The Holy Spirit inspired man to write this book. God wrote this book. This is his word. And we need to understand that we should be thankful for all that we go through in this life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We should be thankful for those things. And if you're not thankful, shame on you. Shame on you. This world is coming to an end, and we all will be judged according to what we've done in this body. If we've honored God, then great. If we have not, not so great. Not so great. If you're here and you're not a Christian, and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours to put Christ on through baptism after you make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Understanding that, you know, that our lives will be changed, should be changed, to walk a newness of life, to do what is right before God, to keep the commandments of Jesus because we love Him and we're thankful for all that He has done. Maybe you're here and you have strayed away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're begging you to come back. Because there's no better life than a life in Christ. No better life. So let's do what's right. Let's confess our faults one to another. Let's confess our faults to God. And remember that if someone comes to you and confess a fault to you, that you need to forgive them. For we want to be Christ-like. We want to be God-like. And the Bible says that if you confess your faults to God, He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So let's do what's right. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.